Welcome back once again to How's Your Day, Cheddar Bay. I am Chester Patricks here, once again, of course, with my co-host, Jamie Owenson. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm doing all right here today, Chester. How are you doing?
Just all right, but it's a fantastic day here in Cheddar Bay. We welcome you back to a glorious morning here in our wonderful town of Cheddar Bay. As we just got back from the news reporting, the traffic out there on the one-lane highways, there's no traffic at all. It's a beautiful trafficless day. You stepped outside to check the weather. How's it look out there?
It's a beautiful trafficless sunny day.
It's probably why there's no traffic. Just so sunny, there's no traffic at all. Any clouds out there in sight?
I think I see... No, there are no clouds in sight.
Not one. Okay. You're looking up.
I am... Oh, actually... Okay, no, yes, I was looking up. I had to double check.
Yep, good job then. Well, why don't you come back inside, Jamie, and we'll get you nice and toasty here in the studio again. We've got a fantastic guest on the way. We have had a packed morning already, and you know, we're here to welcome in more local talent, and just a big one at that. Today we've got brand new author. He's got a new book coming out this week. You can pick up from stores. Welcome to the studio, Slouch Mahoney. Slouch, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for that kind intro. I do want to give a slight clarification. I am not a first-time author. I do have other books, but they were not successful.
That's on me.
So, no, it's fine. It's fine. It is so wonderful to be back here in Cheddar Bay. I am actually a local. I was a local until I moved to the big city. So I actually went to Cheddar Bay High School, Go Fighting Biscuits. It is such a treat. I used to watch you guys when I was growing up, so it's such a treat to finally be on the show and finally meet the two of you.
Famously been running for about 50 years now.
Yeah. About 50 years, yes.
Keeping it tight.
Yeah, you're talking about my new face. You know what? Thank you so much for noticing.
His new face is just always just the guest's favorite thing to talk about.
Every season, new face,
Bounce a quarter off those eyes.
You could, yep. And then, you know, it's going to fly back. It's going to land right into the old Jamie's little face flaps.
Ooh.
Jamie, famously, you don't like the face surgery.
I do not like it. I don't trust it. I think that my face flaps are beautiful, and I am all for that face flap positivity.
Yeah, your face looks like the back of a truck, in a good way.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Are we talking pickup or dump?
I'd say pickup / semi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pickup semi. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't gotten that one before.
Interesting. But we digress. Slouch Mahoney here in the studio today.
Yes.
Working on his one of his follow-up books. Mm-hmm. I've corrected myself.
Thank you.
Your new book here, give us a quick rundown. What kind of topics are you going to be covering here in your new title?
Yes. So first, I want to give a shout out to my publisher, Random Shack. Thank you so much for taking a chance with me.
Love Random Shack.
So what we have is, are the two of you familiar with Mad Libs?
Oh, we love Mad Libs here. We love them
all the time. Used to write poop and everything.
Yes, I used to write poop and piss and just like butts, like just such a fun.
So many butts.
As a kid, such a fun release, such a fun sexual release. You know, to hide in your room, lock the door, and just write your nasty little thoughts and words down in these blank spaces. Just filling a gap that needed to be filled. So I was obsessed with Mad Libs growing up. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to contribute back to society the same feeling that Mad Libs gave me. I feel like Mad Libs has had a bit of a falling off. So what I'm introducing is sort of a companion piece. So what I'm introducing is a new series of books, starting with this first one. And it is simply titled Furious Libs. Now what
Furious Libs.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Topical. So what Furious Libs is it is just the words and you have to fill in the story. So let me go to just page one here, if I may, on the book. May I read from my book?
I would love it. Nothing more.
Okay. So here we go. Here is
This is the new book, yes?
This is the new book.
Okay.
The first page has five words or phrases that are spaced out throughout.
Okay.
So we have here the second line down in the middle.
Fives.
Yeah. Second line down right in the middle, we have soaking wet. Okay. About three lines.
Possibilities for that one.
Three lines down to the far left, we have Toledo.
Toledo.
Two lines down to the far right, we have nest of mosquitoes.
Oh.
A couple lines down, we have topaz. And then down at the very end, we have a snake eating its own tail. So that's just kind of a sampling of the book. So based on that, you would write in, based on those adjectives and locations and verbs and nouns, you would write in a story around those words.
This is groundbreaking stuff, if I'm being honest here. I've never seen any book quite like this. Closest thing I might have seen is a Mad Lib, but as we all know, those start at the top of the page, top left, and they go all the way down to the bottom right. So it's genius is the only word I can think of to say
Chester,
this.
Chester, that is so kind of you, and I just want to... Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional.
No, it's okay.
That someone is finally seeing me. I just want to say that I felt like my material has been groundbreaking for a while, and not many people have taken a chance on me. My very first book I published was it was a book called Limitless, and what it was when you open it up, it's just full
of... The Bradley Cooper movie.
Well, no, that's where a lot of people get things wrong.
My apologies.
Come on, man.
I think I subconsciously took the name from that movie, later TV series, I believe.
I'll strike it from
But
the
it's called Limitless, and then Insider... 347 blank pages. And so it was inspired kind of by John Cage's song. I think it's called like 317, where it's just silence. It's about the notes not being played. So this book is about the words
not being written.
Yes. Yes. John Cage lived and died on this earth. Therefore, he's always topical. It's evergreen. But Limitless was a failure. A lot of people said it was just a blank notebook. A lot of people said... How the fuck was this published? A lot of people said, kill yourself, please.
The publisher did.
Yes, a lot of publishers. So it's been a tumultuous journey, and I feel like to finally be recognized for my ingenuity is really refreshing and really satisfactory. So thank you, Chester, much.
Of course. And, you know, I think it's got to have something to do with where you come from, Cheddar Bay. Now, of course, you Cheddar Bay High.
Go Fighting Biscuits.
Fighting Biscuits, of course. Jamie, you famously went to Cheddar Bay High as well, Biscuits.
Yes, I got beat up every day.
Of course.
Me too.
Yes. Did you? Oh, yeah. We got something going here.
The teachers there suck. Yeah.
They were awful. Don't know how they're not in jail, but I'm still here. I made it.
Teachers beating you up. Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, every day.
Yeah, every day.
Wow. Big ones? Small ones?
One's as big as your head.
Okay. That's a big teacher, by the way. That's
No. The one that's big as your head. We actually have. You may not know this because it's kind of been buried in the annals of history. But Walt Disney's frozen head taught at Cheddar Bay High for a few years.
That's true.
So you would go in, you would learn animation and I think passive racism.
Definitely a lot of that.
Which was terrible. And when you try and leave the class and be like, I'm not going to learn this. The frozen head would roll out of its jar and verbally attack you and call in other teachers to physically pick on you. So
the head would restrain your ankles while it waited for other teachers to come in and help.
Yes. And I believe that head was a Nazi sympathizer.
Yep. Oh, very difficult for them to physically restrain you.
It's just disgusting. Disgusting stuff that I don't condone, and I'm glad that head melted.
I did not go to that to Cheddar Bay High. I have to put that out there. I don't want to get misconstrued. I went to the Dry Creek High, the Butter Pads, as they were, you know,
the Butter Pads,
famously rivals of the biscuits. So
Butter Pads. I dated a girl who was a Butter Pad, and let me just tell you the pranks that the girls play during sleepover in terms of what they put in each other's tampons is so weird. My ex girlfriend woke up with a full stick of Land O'Lakes. In her.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, in her pad. Yep. And I don't know if it's like an initiation thing or if it's just for goofs and gags, but she's told me some wild stories.
You might have to start a new book on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You said ex girlfriend or current girlfriend, wife, perhaps.
Ex girlfriend.
Ex girlfriend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to make sure. Didn't want to touch on any sore subjects. Now, Jamie, you're current wife actually is the principal over at the at Dry Creek. Yes.
I don't really see her too often because she's a very busy woman.
Have you heard anything about any of these initiations, these rituals? It seems like
I have most days. My wife comes
we'll get back
home
to your book
tears.
By the way in just a second.
Most days my wife comes home in tears because of it. It's kind of like a campus-wide thing. They do the pranks on everybody. You know, there's the Land O'Lakes thing, and sometimes there's just the snakes. They just put a snake.
The Land of Snakes.
Yes, Land of Snakes. Land of Snakes. Call it. Land of Snakes. Sometimes they feed a stick of butter to the snake, and then they use the snake. It's no good.
My goodness.
Yes. It's no good.
My ex had that happen where she had a pet snake. Same ex.
Okay.
They fed it a stick of butter, and then what they did is they sat around for 2 weeks to watch it die of high cholesterol. So it's just kind of a tragic. You know, clearly kids being kids, but it's also like an adult should have stepped in at some point. Jamie, I do have to ask, since Chester said your current wife had this, I've never heard somebody say current wife. They just said your wife. So what is with the current? Have you gone through a few divorces?
Oh, famously.
Well, so my co-host here famously has a new face basically every year. I have a new marriage basically every year. It's kind of – I like to call it my character arc. Most people just say – I'm awful. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with using a marriage to raise, to, you know, give yourself views or keep yourself in the news cycle. Mm-hmm. I'm an entertainer. What can I say?
I think, you know, I wrote a children's book that did not get published or do very well. It was called A Cavalcade of Spouses. And it was based on my upbringing, which
that was you actually. I read that one. Okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yes. Good. But yeah, it's just kind of a gentle story about how kids, when you grow up, you might go through a whole lot of different stepmoms and stepdads. So just kind of preparing kids. I also had a children's book called Don't Even Worry About Piranhas. Because, you know, as a kid, you watch movies and you're like, yikes, bikes. If I dip my toes, I might pull out bones. My feet might become bones.
Yeah, that's true. I said that all the time.
And then as I got older and older, you know, I hit my teens and my 20s and my 30s. And I said, you know what? I don't even know what a piranha looks like. I've never met one. I've never seen one. I've never encountered one. I don't think I have to worry about these anymore. So I said, I'm going to give kids a lesson I never had, which is don't even worry about piranhas.
Not even a little bit.
Just push them out of your brain. Forget the word. Because it's not going to be an issue in your life. And I feel like that you can release that terror and that tension that's built up in your shoulders when you're a kid, fearing piranhas.
Yes.
So
you feel that tension in your jaw mostly when you're worrying about piranhas.
Yes, in your jaw. Because in your mind's eye, you picture a little piranha chewing away on your flesh. And so you start to chew with your mouth to be like, here's what's happening. And
Now, Slouch, I have to ask. Follow-up question. As we do here, we get the hard-hitting answers, and I hope you're ready for this.
I hope it's not about my name.
Well, that's later on. We'll get back to that. And we'll get back to that book that you're writing, that you're releasing this week, too. I promise.
Oh, yes, okay.
Have you had any parents whose children maybe should have worried about a piranha a little bit? I'm sure there's some child somewhere who has been near a piranha and was thinking, oh, I just want to pet that fish. Look at that fish. What a lovely little fish. And he had no idea that it was a piranha that he should have been worried about.
Chester, I'm glad you asked this question. This is a past mistake I have to face. When I first self-published...
I'm glad you're doing it here on How's Your Day, Cheddar Bay.
Yes, of course. I would only give my hometown the exclusive.
Thank you.
When I first self-published, Don't Even Worry About Piranhas... There was an unfortunate child in Patagonia who picked up this book. I'm not sure how they got their grubby little hands on it, but they were one of the 13 sales that I had. So this little child in Patagonia read this book and became brazen and emboldened by the story of not having to fear nature. They ventured into the deep Patagonia waters, and they were eaten alive. Now, I do want to...
My goodness. Entirely.
For my own peace of mind and for my own conscience, I do want to let people know that he was eaten by an anaconda. So, to be fair, my premise still stands airtight.
Holds up. It seems like it holds up.
But I think that a non-fear of piranhas can lead to an ignorance of other nautical creatures that could consume you. So... I might tinker around and try and republish that at some point, but right now it's pardon the phrase, dead in water. I don't even know why I said that. I just want to apologize.
Bad look. Bad
yes.
Look. To We're live too, so I can't.
That's good.
My apologies to the Welper family in Patagonia.
The Welper family.
Yes.
Welp. Or Well, let's move on from that topic then. So that's
thank you.
Yes, I don't want to, you know, keep you living in the past any more than you should.
But I'm glad we touched upon it because, like a 14-year-old in the mall, sometimes we got to visit those hot topics. Sometimes we have to, you know,
was worried where that was going
to
go.
We have to. Sometimes we have to call ourselves out and say, you know, this happened. It's unfortunate, but I might have, you know, my actions have led to this. So I think it's a worthwhile topic, but I'm happy to move on.
Are you saying 14 is the cutoff for hot topic? Is that what I'm the takeaway from this?
Legally, I believe so. I believe if you're caught,
Jamie, you're gonna have to stop going to the hot topic.
If you're caught in a hot topic and you're 15 or older, I do believe you're arrested on the spot. Just like if you are, unless you are between the ages of 9 and 11, you cannot be in a Gadzooks.
9 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll never forget that. Jamie, you were going to say something, I think. Yes. Jamie, you looked like you were furiously Googling when he was talking about Patagonia. You got anything to say?
I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of your other work in that same series, which was the book called You Will Never Fuck with Quicksand, Don't Worry.
I saw John Mulaney perform live, and I said to myself, this skinny little weirdo's onto something.
Skinny little weirdo. Yes, that's, mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard anyone describe him that way, but it's perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for.
He is skinny and weird.
That's that's exactly right. any books on slowly dipping into a cooking pot full of boiling water and going ooh ooh ee ah ooh ah ee. No, okay,
not yet. But I do think that's what you're describing is basically Bugs Bunny being cannibalized.
I was always terrified of that happening to me.
You see these cartoons and they go into, they think they're taking a warm hot bath in a spa, and suddenly there's sliced carrots and there's sliced carrots all around them.
Always a sliced carrot.
They're like, oh, a snack. Little do they know. So yeah, I feel like Looney Tunes has that territory pretty well covered, but at some point I may dip my toes into that water.
It's fascinating, all the different ideas you've got rattling around in that author brain of yours. We've got Slouch Mahoney here in the studio today, pushing only his newest book. That's the Furious Libs. You know, it seems like in the news cycles, all I've been hearing is about the Furious Libs, and I didn't even realize that they were talking about your new book. You've been having a massive publicity stunt for all these, it seems like, over the past 7 years or so.
Yeah, I had something in the news about Furious Libs just triggered something in me where I said, I'm inspired to write this new style of book. I also played around, this is something I might eventually release, I played around with Koobs. Koobs, yeah. So Koobs are something, again, I'm tinkering with. It's just, you know, I'm in the lab with a pen and a pad.
We're getting an exclusive here.
And
how's your day, Cheddar Bay?
What a Koob is, it's a book that you read from the back to the front. So you start with the ending and you work your way up to the beginning. Koob, of course, spelled K-O-O-B. So this is just a fun new way to consume books, to where you don't waste time. You don't put the book down because you start with the ending, shebang. It's right there, all the details. And then you work your way backward to say, hey, how did we get here?
That's fantastic. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've started reading a book. I've got a few chapters in, and I said to myself, I wonder what happens at the end. And I flip to the end, and I say, oh, the guy died. Why did I do this to myself?
Yep.
And then I have to sit through the rest of the book.
I can't wait for the Christopher Nolan adaptation of that book. It's just going to be fantastic.
It's just going to go front to back.
Christopher Nolan, if you're listening, I would be thrilled to have you bog down my idea. Please reach out to my people and see how you can turn my idea for a book into a 3-hour unwatchable movie.
Yeah, he is listening. Famously a big fan of How's Your Day,
Cheddar. Good.
He owns his seventh house here. He usually spends every fourth summer here.
Every fourth summer. Wow. It's not the one that you would think. It's not the Olympics one. He alternates, so it's not on the Olympics specifically.
Notable Olympics hater, Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, anti-Olympics. Did you see Tenet? So much anti-Olympics propaganda.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of, like, you see somebody dive off a boat, and you're like, that was like a 3.5, like, they're not even trying. So I think he definitely couched a lot of his anti-Olympics messaging into the movie.
It was kind of weird how every single scene in that movie started off with somebody walking away from a TV that had the Olympics on it and muttering under their breath, "What a fucking idiot.
Not watching this." And that's just, it was fascinating. And no one seemed to talk about it.
It's somebody changing the channel over to Family Guy and saying, "Well, let's get some quality in here."
Changing over to an early season of The Simpsons and saying, "These guys get it."
Yeah, it is. Watching Tenet, it was interesting that by the end of the movie, I was like, I just watched about 48 minutes of just pure Family Guy, just based on people in the movie watching Family Guy. So it was interesting to consume three full episodes.
Commercials and everything, too. It was it's strange.
That reminds me here on Channel 6, right here in Cheddar Bay, be sure to catch Family Guy every weeknight from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Reruns, the best episodes.
And I can't tell you how my favorite bit, there's a bit where Peter, where Peter's bits like
of Family Guy.
Oh, I just have to. I'm going to cede some of my time. I'm going to cede some of my time talking about the book to talk about the best Family Guy bit. There's a time There's a time where Peter Griffin, the father
matriarch
of
the family,
the matriarch of the family, he says something along the lines of like, "Remember that time the moon hit my eye like a big pizza pie?" And then they. I don't know if people can follow, but they cut to a moment. That's clearly a flashback.
A smash cut?
And Peter Griffin is staring up at the night sky. And the night sky looks kind of like a pizza oven. And there's a bit of a ding. Okay. And then the night sky opens up the pizza oven and there's the moon. It looks like the moon, but it's clearly like melted mozzarella. And then the pizza slides out of the oven and it's in the shape of the moon. It kind of looks like the moon, even though it's mozzarella. And it falls right on Peter's open eye.
He
screams because the hot cheese is melting his Oculus. And it's so interesting because when I heard the lyrics, "The moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie," I just thought it was like about the wow factor of like, wow, just look at the scope and the grandiosity of space. But what Family Guy and the writers did was to turn it on its head and say, what if it was literally a pizza pie? And what if this pizza pie went into someone's eyeball as per the song lyrics? Now, I like to fancy myself as like a Z-list comedian in terms of some of the content I put into my books. But I feel like Family Guy, never a dip. They're just so topical. They're so on top of things.
Always hitting.
I could watch that. I could watch that a million times.
Firing on all cylinders.
If I may.
Of course.
There's also an episode. Where Peter?
Are we still talking about Family Guy?
Still talking about Family Guy. Okay. There's an episode where Peter Griffin,
father of the family.
He says to Lois, who's his partner in life. He says to Lois,
Lois Griffin.
Have you seen my tube socks?
Oh, I've seen this one. It's a classic. Jamie, listen to this.
They cut to a moment. They cut to a moment, which could only be a flashback,
of course,
based on context clues. They cut to a moment where. Peter's at the bank and he makes a deposit, and as he's sitting in his car in the drive-thru making a deposit, a pneumatic tube drops down and he opens the tube and he goes, pneumatic tube, and he opens it up and inside are socks. So we learn
the best part, Jamie.
We learn the origin of these socks he's missed. They are literal tube socks.
They came from the tube, Jamie.
They came from
the tube.
Oh, the pneumatic tube?
To the naked human eye, they just look like socks. But we get a glimpse into this backstory that they came from a pneumatic tube. And just I had to pause my DVR. I did 10 laps around the house just whooping and hollering because I said to myself, how does anyone think of this stuff? How does anyone, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so, it's so fast. Can I say another moment?
Oh yeah.
Do we have time?
There's an episode.
Yes, we have time.
Go ahead. Yes,
there's an episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin, he's talking to his family and he says, "Remember that time we went to the Poison concert?" And what the show does so brilliantly is they flashback, and you know it's a flashback due to context clues. And you're at a concert, which you presume is a Poison concert, as per what Peter said. And there's a big banner in the back that says Poison, and you assume it's the 80s hair metal band.
Yes, of course.
And what it is, it's one man on stage with a guitar singing, which at that point you're like, is this Poison? Because I thought they had a full band.
That's not the Poison we know.
And then they cut to the audience, and everyone is on the floor dead, and they're all gripping plastic cups that are empty. So it's kind of this fun thing where it's almost like the Hail. It's like the Hail Bop cult where they all drank Kool-Aid and killed themselves.
Right.
So, of course. When he said poison concert, I was thinking
was that Jonestown.
Maybe.
It was a different incident.
No, sorry.
We interviewed one of the survivors. It's okay.
Yeah.
So you think it's going to be a poison concert, and what it turns out to be is a concert where everyone was poisoned, and it's just a fun.
What a fun play on it.
How'd they do that? Flip it on the, turn it on its head.
Oh, that was, hold on, what was that you just did? That was
just a little, how'd they do that?
That was, Jamie, did you hear?
That was brilliant. We can make that into a sound clip.
Yeah, would you mind, yeah. Can we edit that? Can we use that clip as how's your day, Cheddar Bay?
I would, if I could be some sort of button that you press, that would be a childhood dream. Can I tell you about another moment? Do we have time?
I hope you would love it. Oh, yes, of course.
This
time
for
the
man
who's letting us use that clip, of course.
This time it's about Stewie, the baby.
The baby of the family, yeah.
He is Peter Griffin's child, a baby.
The father of the family, yes.
And
now, is Peter Griffin the family guy?
Yes. He's the titular role. Yes. There's an episode. Were these masterful clowns write an episode where Stewie is on the playground
baby.
And he's playing he's playing war with his friends. Now, what his friends don't know is that Stewie is Einstein level smart. So when he plays war, he has actual guns and tanks at his command, which is
we're not playing the classic card
which is
game.
Bonkers. Yeah, no, he's going to war.
My goodness.
And there's a point where he's going to war and he's killing all these kids, and it's funny somehow. And there's a moment and he's pressing a button that's firing all these cannons, and then the camera zooms into his eyes and he squints and he goes, "Oh no, I've made a poopy." And it's just so smart. The juxtaposition of
how do they?
Is,
how do they
I don't do know. This? You could put a billion monkeys on a billion typewriters, and they would never even come close to this masterfulness. And it's just the juxtaposition of a baby who's commanding an army and is ruthless and is vindictive and is murdering, and then just like the oopsies of everyday baby life is just
he
so
made a poopy.
Made a poopy, and those things are diametrically opposed. So to see them played out in one 30-second piece of just genius is so. Can I talk about another moment from Family Guy? Do we have time?
I want to stick to this moment for just a moment,
if that's okay.
I'm fascinated at the social commentary on war. The Family Guy, this cartoon about Peter Griffin, the father of the family, it can make such a statement on war because war is dirty, war is gritty, war has. There's times where soldiers, I'm sure, have to poop in their pants. It has to happen.
A lot of understated casualty of war.
Understated
there's a lot
casualty.
Of poop. A lot of poop.
You
a
don't
lot
think
of
about
laundry
it.
Detergent.
All those men sitting in those trenches for days. What do you
days
think was happening? What do you think was happening?
I have to assume they were pooping.
At least some of them. Of them pooping in their pants.
I would say at least 30% of them.
30%. Yeah,
30%.
That's
30%. Spot on. That's what I was going to say.
Don't get me started on all the horses they had in their business.
Horses poop so much.
And
famously,
they put those pants
so
on
much.
Them. They're bound to poop into those pants.
As per the Geneva Convention.
Yes.
For a 10-year period, horses in war had to wear pants.
Yes, of course.
Which was just a wild moment in history.
It was. Now, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go. You had another moment you wanted to talk about. I want to get to that moment.
Oh fuck! Can I remember it? Oh yes.
Oh, no.
So this moment involves Brian the dog.
The dog.
Oh,
of the
I
family.
Love that little guy.
And so Brian the dog is.
And I'm sorry. I need to set this up a little bit for the folks at home who maybe don't watch Family Guy. Haven't been privileged enough to watch it. Brian the dog. He can talk. He walks on two legs. He's very anthropomorphized. Is that right?
Yes, he's anthropomorphic.
Yes, there we go.
He's the Garfield of this
He
series.
Is the Garfield of the Family Guy universe.
Yes, he's like a jet-setter, sassy Garfield.
He's a bit like Heathcliff.
Yes.
And he has sex with human women sometimes.
Sometimes.
A real Tomcat.
And we root for
top
that.
Cat? What was that cat's name? Top Cat.
Top Cat, yeah.
Yes, there
top
we go.
Cat. Well, there's Top Cat and Bottom Cat. And there's Top Cat and Power Bottom Cat. Both
very
wildly different cartoons. Wildly different cartoons.
Very short-lived series. That
but
one.
There's an episode of Family Guy where Brian the dog, he's watching this movie. Okay, he's watching Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh.
Oh. And he's drinking a martini. Movie. He's drinking a martini, and there's a scene where James Dean, as the titular rebel without a cause, he gets kind of heated. And Brian's sipping his martini with a few olives, and he puts down his drink, and he very dryly says, knowing the camera's watching, he very dryly says, I hope this young guy doesn't lose his head. and what's funny is that what's funny is that we
black humor.
We living in today's society know that James Dean famously died in a car crash that decapitated him. So this funny droll humor of like, isn't it funny that people die in horrendous ways? And just the way Brian and I'm not doing it justice, the way Brian the dog says it is just so calculated and precise. It's almost like it's just almost like Mitch Hedberg in terms of like, why didn't I think of that? Like
so
he says something. He says something. I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
It's fantastic. And when I hear Mitch Hedberg talk about a donut not needing a receipt, I'm like, I'm in stitches. I don't need a receipt for this donut.
There's this time. Classic. Can I talk about the time that Mitch Hedberg said something?
Was he on Family Guy?
Yes. There's one episode where
goodness.
He.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow. By all means, please go ahead.
So this is episode of Family Guy where Lois, the mom. Meets this guy in a grocery store, and that guy goes, "Hey, I do not need this coffee," and he dumps a coffee on Lois's head.
Classic Mitch Hedberg.
And I don't understand the joke, but just the way it's done is so funny. Like I don't understand why dumping a hot coffee on a woman's head is funny, but I trust the writers, and therefore it makes me laugh. I have to force myself.
If it's on Family Guy, it must be funny.
Yeah, I have to force myself to laugh. There's a what?
There was about 3 minutes of unbroken Lois rolling around on the ground saying,
yes.
"Oh my God, it's so hot, it's so hot." And,
yeah,
I didn't really get it the first time, but I knew that I had to crack up, so I was just cracking up the whole time.
It's Lois screaming as her skin peels off her face, and then at some point, I think the Kool-Aid man bursts through the wall and he says, "Serves you right."
Dude, I remember
a classic
that. I think
flip
that,
on
that
the
scene
tip.
Actually won an Emmy.
Yeah,
I remember.
And then I think they cut to Mr. Peanut and he's masturbating.
It was Baby Peanut. Yes.
There's so much brilliance going on. It's hard to remember. It's almost like looking at the cover of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the album.
I'm sorry.
There's
what
so
is
much
that?
Going on. Sergeant Pepper's. It's what are their names?
Is this a
cookbook? Band.
Is this a cookbook?
Sort of. It's a cookbook. It's a way for you to cook up audio snacks. Each of these audio snacks are kind of like 3 minutes. And there's stuff like being for the benefit of Mr. Kite. So it's like this, there's like a calliope. And
is Mr. Kite a Family Guy character? Or?
Mr. Kite is a Family Guy character. So it's this kite who every time he goes up in the air, he goes, "I'm afraid of heights." And so he'll barf.
But he's
whoever's flying him, he'll barf on them. And there's an episode where the son, whose name escapes me.
Peter Jr. Yes.
Peter
Jr., Chris Griffin, is flying a kite and he goes, "I'm Benjamin Franklin." And he says, "I'm Benjamin Franklin" because he's flying a kite during his parents' key party. He ties all the keys while the adults are fucking and he ties them to a kite and then the kite goes up in the air and he goes, "I'm going to be sick." And he barfs all over Peter Jr. And it's just so...
classic Family Guy. Classic.
It's just so funny. It's just like when you watch the evolution of like, you know, your show of shows with Mel Brooks and Sid Caesar and Carl Reiner. And just the brilliancy of that. To go from that to like Monty Python... and like Mr. Show and just all these then to go to Family Guy. It's just
Kelsey
like
Grammer.
Kelsey. Oh,
yep.
Can I talk about something that happened in the episode of Frasier?
Of course. Yes,
I would. I don't know. It might go over my head, but I'll listen. Of course.
Not mine. It'll go right into my head.
So there's an episode of Frasier where Frasier Crane, Kelsey Grammer. He's doing something where he's baking, something happened where his servant or butler or whatever he has is sick. So he has to, and he has his dinner party. So he has to cook. Can you believe it?
Always on dinner parties.
This educated man cooking. Can you believe it? He's frazzled beyond belief. And he goes into he's bouncing between the living room and the kitchen. And what a nightmare the kitchen is being. But you wouldn't know it by the way he's talking to the living room. So he goes into the kitchen and he opens the oven, and whatever was cooking is burnt to a crisp.
Oh, it was his profiteroles.
His profiteroles.
Yes, and they were burnt to a crisp.
Yes, and he looks straight at the camera, and he goes, what is this in my oven? Mount Pompeii? or Mount Vesuvius?
He said both of those, too.
He said both. He clearly flubbed the line. But they left it in because what he captured, he captures a cultural zeitgeist, which is, can you believe this rich fuck is cooking? And yeah. for him to make such a historical and almost literary reference to this burnt food, the man's a brilliant.
It was a fantastic show. Jamie, you missed out by not watching Frasier during the time. What were you watching during that time?
I was an entertainer,
it seems like you should have been watching a little closely to Frasier.
I spent most of the 90s rewatching all of the seasons of Cheers. Anytime anybody told me to watch Frasier, I'd say, well, I got Mr. Crane right here. Why would I watch that? And it's just...
Makes sense. Easily confused. Easily confused.
Yeah, of course.
Slouch, I'm fascinating having a conversation with you. I look so forward to the new book. Which name escapes me for just a moment.
Furious Lips.
That's what it was. Yes, of course. As I said, I'm very much looking forward to it. So much so that I could barely contain the name in my brain.
Good. Do you mind if we interact with the book for a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. I would love nothing more.
Okay, so like I said, it's I give you the adjectives, verbs, nouns, and locations.
Okay,
and
do I need a pen and paper?
Maybe.
Okay.
Or just bring your imagination. So we're going to take a look at this the first two sentences here. Okay. So as you see, the first two lines are blank, except for in the middle of the second sentence, it does say, I believe it says soaking wet. That's what it says.
Soaking wet, yes. Okay.
So I want you to each take turns telling a two-sentence story that involves, somewhere in the second sentence, the term soaking wet. Whenever you two are ready, let's just have some fun and demonstrate to the audience why you should pick up this book.
So just to clarify, we're doing a two-sentence story each.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pass it to the next person.
Unless that's a problem.
And the second sentence has that word, the soaking wet, in it. So the second person, what are they going to be tasked with completing on there?
So you're going to tell a two-sentence story involving soaking wet, and then once you're done, Jamie's going to tell a two-sentence story involving soaking wet.
Oh, same word.
You each take a stab at it to just show how different things can... Because just like with Mad Libs, if you said, I opened up my closet and a bunch of blanks popped out...
Could be anything.
On your own accord, you would both write your own things. Somebody might write clowns. Somebody else might write dead clowns. I like that one. It could go anywhere. So let's just see what you come up with.
Okay.
So Chester, if you don't mind going first.
Yes, of course.
Two-sentence story, second sentence must involve soaking wet. Here we go.
Okay. Fantastic. Two sentences. Here I go. Say, have you seen that episode of Family Guy with the Key Party? I tell you, that party was soaking wet.
That's the first sentence. That's okay. Brilliant. And now sentence number two, and work in the term soaking wet again.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I threw in a comma when it should have been a period. Let's see. So the first sentence, hey, have you seen that episode of Family Guy with the Key Party? That party was soaking wet. Second sentence.
Period. Yeah.
Period. The second sentence. Boy, it got me soaking wet, if you know what I mean.
Nice. Oh, nice. Oh, fantastic.
Pretty good.
And then wink at the end. A wink emoji I was writing this out.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that. That's a perfect example.
I famously cannot wink with my new face. So.
Oh, right. You'll tear your taint, right?
Yes, exactly. It'll be pulled right up the back of my spine.
Yeah. Because that's what they did, is they kind of gave the skin
taint face,
on your,
yes.
The skin on your back, they almost gave it like a wedgie,
yes.
to tighten it, and then stapled it at your spinal column.
Exactly right, yes. 100%
right. Jamie, do you mind giving my first page a go?
No, of course not. So, so let's just rack the old brain here.
Remember, second sentence for that soaking wet, by the way. Throw that period in there.
Peter Griffin looked at the pile of towels that were soaking wet, period. Peter Griffin then said, wow, those towels are soaking wet. Was that good? Was that good?
That could not have gone better.
That was fantastic.
My school actually banned me from doing Mad Libs as a kid because I was so bad at them. Cheddar Bay High, yes.
Wow.
I've been practicing for the last 50 years, though, so I hope that it shows.
No, it did show. That was fantastic. Thank you both for participating. And audience, you out there at home watching, just think of all the fun you can have coming up with sentences or references to Family Guy using the five words per page in my new book, Furious Libs.
Furious Libs. And it's on sale when?
It does come out on December 26th.
Just missed Christmas.
We thought it would be smart, well, I did, to put out a book at a time where, right after a time where everybody's looking to buy stuff, where everyone has disposable income and they say, I want to spend a lot of money and get gifts. We thought if you put it right at the end of that, right after, people are going to be like, what the fuck? Why'd this book come out now? Can I say
it's gotta be worth something?
Oh yeah, of course.
Can I say come out now? Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh yes.
Before 3 a.m. we can do anything we want.
Okay, good. So it's just kind of like
mental
terrorism. By the
way, it's 2:48 right now. We've got
good. Oh my parking meter. But it's just such a mental chess move to be like to make people upset and then it's on everyone's lips, right? Because they're like, did you hear about this fucking book that came out on December 26th?
No press is
bad press, except for bench press, which is very difficult.
It's painful.
Very painful.
It famously caved my chest in on a live show in 1978.
That's right. No. I'm so sorry.
Our highest rated show yet.
Oh, that was on your show?
Best, biggest rerun, too. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yes.
No, I think, Slouch Mahoney, I think you're onto something, though, with that December 26th release, because what happens after Christmas? Everybody goes and they return piles of gifts. And when they return those gifts, what happens most of the time? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We can give you store credit.
Yes.
Turn around with that store credit. You see a pile of books over here. What's this, Furious Libs? I'm pretty furious myself right now. And then they might buy you that book. So
yeah.
I'm so furious and horny to spend this store credit. So I just gotta.
Oh, it's unbelievable that you say that, Jamie, because if I may do a little bit of a tantalizing teaser... My next book coming out December 27th is called Horny Libs.
Back-to-back releases.
I can't wait to do that one with my next wife.
Now, what it is it's a little bit more of a classic.
You say your next wife?
With my next wife. Yeah, I'm already planning.
Congratulations in advance.
Thank you.
Mazel tov.
But what it is it's a bit of a revisitation of classic Mad Libs where you do fill in just the blanks and not the whole story around it. But the blanks have a little bit more of, let's say, like an adult theme.
Don't tell me that every blank says body part.
Every blank says type of butthole.
Oh, my goodness. Wait.
Bodily fluid, I'm assuming, has
bodily
to be
fluids
as well.
In there. You know, it's just stuff like that. So it's like number of mouths. So it's just fun stuff like that where you can sit down with your loved ones and concoct such a fun, horny little tale. And then what's great about it is that it comes with a mini disc taped to the inside so that you can pop that into your mini disc recorder and film yourself reenacting this story with your loved one. Now, admittedly, I don't know much about electronics, but I've been told that mini disc is the way to record. So... you can shoot your own kind of fantasy.
How's Your Day, Cheddar Bay is famously recorded on minidisc, so I believe there's no other medium for it.
We are finally out of the HD DVD era and fully into the minidisc era.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Home and Garden Network either. But, yeah, I feel like this is just a fun, horny thing for adults to tinker around with, and I think it's going to lead to some really interesting sex.
I certainly hope so. If there's anything that we want to promote here on How's Your Day, Cheddar Bay, it's two things. One, interesting sex, and two, Family Guy, every night, weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Be sure to catch it.
Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When I was saying interesting sex, I thought of a Family Guy moment. Do you guys mind if I share this?
You know what?
Very quickly.
Yeah, this will be as we're going to the break. So cue that music, and we'll go right ahead.
Almost Micro Machines advertisement fast. So there's this episode where Peter Griffin, he's about to have sex with Lois, and he takes off his pants, and there's this little flap over his asshole.
Like the one on my face?
Almost. But Lois is staring at it. And she goes, Lois is staring at it. And she goes, "What is that?" And he peels off this little cover that's covering up his asshole. And he goes, "Yeah, it's my manhole cover." And it is so. And then they zoom in. They zoom into his asshole, and four Ninja Turtles get out of it. And it is so. Just the way. Yes, just the way. It's almost like. David Sedaris. It's just, the humor is just classic. It's so personal. And it's just like I lived that life almost, where I'm like, this is the joke I didn't know I needed. And so that's just an example of interesting sex. So thank you all again for having me.
Yeah, of course.
It was a glorious time. It was
Jamie, are you going to pick up his book, the first one that you'll read in your life, I believe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Look at that. You got your first sales
day,
slouch.
Day one.
The pre-order go ahead.
Later in the episode, Peter folds a slice of pizza and sticks it up his ass.
No.
And you hear munching. You hear munching. And he goes, they were hungry.
that's a true cowabunga moment, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. Oh, and then, later in the same episode, he sits down and he goes, ew. And Lois goes, what's wrong? And he goes, I sat on a splinter. and just the way, he says it and the look on his face, it's just
you know what he means, even though it sounds like it could be two things.
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
classic.
The world building they've done is just, Isaac Asimov is rolling over in his, he's dead, right?
Yes.
Let's go with yes.
Let's say his bed, and that could be his casket.
It could
or
be his
death bed.
Yes.
Yeah. Because who knows?
I don't believe they've moved him after he died. He's remained in the same bed. Yes.
Good.
Is
H.P. Lovecraft still around?
In one way or another, I think so.
In all of us,
his reputation for sure is still notorious.
And you know, and this is kind of. I'm letting you in on a little author secret. So there's a community of authors who kind of share tips. H.P. Lovecraft, that actually stands for Huge Penis Lovecraft, because he, much like Milton Berle, he was famous, and Rasputin and John Dillinger, he famously had a large member.
And
was this a birth given name, or did he give it to
and
himself?
And I'm sorry, your book of famous people with large members, that's coming out next year, I believe.
It's coming out this year, December 28th.
December 28th.
Big year.
We're getting close to that next year, though.
I'm so sorry. I'm not even going to ask permission. It's better to beg forgiveness than to ask permission. There's an episode of Family Guy.
I know what's coming.
And there's an episode of Family Guy where Stewie goes to Home Depot, and he's got a shopping cart full of wood and lumber, and he checks out, and the whole checking out the lumber takes like it's like a 18 minute segment. No, I'm not being hyperbolic. It takes 18 minutes.
Yes.
And the whole time Stewie has this smug little look on his face, and then all the ringing up gets done, and they say it's like $14,000, and he pays it, and he looks dead in the camera, and he goes, "Looks like I've got wood," and it's so funny. It's so funny that the way that they speak to everyone's brain waves of like. This baby doesn't know what a boner is, and he knows getting wood is something adults do. So he spent $14,000 of money he doesn't have at Home Depot, and it's just a joke for the ages.
You know, it reminds me of the time, Jamie, that you took $14,000 worth of Cialis. You came to work. You were all red-faced. You had your chest. You had ripped open your shirt because you were so hot. And you were just walking around with just excuse me for being so crass, but the largest tent in your pants that I've ever seen.
Well, in my defense, it was a very bad week for me last week. I kind of needed that pick-me-up.
Not as bad as the week that Quagmire had when one episode, he's following a cookbook instruction Family Guy's neighbor. Quagmire's following a recipe to the T because there's a neighborhood bake sale. And so he's making this dessert. He's baking this thing. And in the recipe, to his credit, it does say cumin. But what Quagmire doesn't know is he doesn't know what cumin is. So what he does is he comes in the pastry dough. He ejaculates. And he says his famous line, giggity. And then he
three times.
And then he takes it to the bake sale, and all the neighborhood adults are eating it, and they're like, this is delicious. Because in movies and in TV shows, whenever there's cum in something, it suddenly becomes delicious to everyone.
It tastes wonderful.
Van Wilder.
Van Wilder, the classic donut scene. I think I've had this before.
The Help with their shit pie.
With the shit pie.
So Quagmire, Quagmire should be in jail, but because he's not, we have to love him.
That's true. That's very true.
And he's just a little rascal. We love
such
him.
A rascal.
We love him to death.
But
such
instead of putting his eye to a tailpipe and getting soot on his eye, what he does is he's a sexual offender.
that's in these trying times, sometimes you just need that kind of character to laugh at.
Yeah, sometimes
you know?
You need a local pervert doing the most awful, heinous shit.
Absolutely.
For you to be like, they're but for the grace of God.
Yeah, you see him and you think to yourself, you know what? Maybe I'm not doing so bad.
Yeah,
it's helping us all. So it's doing a service to the community is really what Family Guy does.
you hold up a mirror to yourself and say, thank God I didn't say something that's not going to hold up in a year, let alone 15.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Because Lord knows, Family Guy has held up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Slouch Mahoney, I once again, I got to thank you so much for coming back home. Cheddar Bay,
of course.
We welcome you anytime that you're in with a new book. We will gladly make some time to talk about your new books or Family Guy, whatever it might be that you want to talk about. Any parting words for the audience? Maybe go buy my book.
Definitely go buy my book.
Okay, yes, I was right.
And then also I just say, if you've never been, come check out Cheddar Bay. It's a bit of a well-kept secret, and I feel like more people need to experience this town, and I just want to thank you guys. Literally, I've watched you since I was a child. It's such a treat and honor to be here, and there's an episode where Stewie the baby,
go ahead and we'll start the music as we keep talking.
He's on a roller coaster, and somebody says, that baby can't be on the roller coaster. You must be this high to ride. And so he takes out a blunt and he starts to smoke.
Oh, that's a classic.
And then his eyes are all bloodshot and he goes, am I high enough now? Oh, and just, everyone can't help but chuckle because he's such a rapscallion. He's an incredulous little boy. And we all love him. And so this baby's smoking marijuana and we cheer because we say he did it. He undermined expectations. So.
And that's just the genius with Family Guy.
That's just
sometimes you have the sexual predator that makes everybody laugh and makes everybody feel better. Sometimes you have the baby doing drugs to make people laugh, and it's just that thing that shows people that it really is okay to just joke about anything without worrying about how people feel about it.
There's an episode where Peter goes, "Yeah, remember that time I went snowboarding?" And they flashback. You assume it's a flashback because of context clues. And he has a blindfold and he has a burlap bag over his face.
I remember and these
people are screaming at him they say, tell us where he is. And they pour snow on his face. And the whole joke is that he's snowboarding. He's being snowboarded.
He's getting snowboarded is what's happening.
Yeah. And he goes, he's like, it doesn't feel like I'm drowning.
But that's classic.
Just a way to be like, we know what waterboarding is, but to take snowboarding in that direction, like he said it. And it's just like, thank God he said it, because we need more of that. You know, I'm just tired of comedy being so censored nowadays. Everyone's so walking on eggshells. And it's like, do a snowboarding joke, Peter.
Yeah,
my king.
And that episode coming out in 2003 was topical. It was beautiful. It just showed us all
right
that everything
on the
was going to be okay.
This is right when Homeland was coming out, and we cheer for that guy. So, good morning, Cheddar Bay. Good afternoon, Cheddar Bay. Thank you all. Love me some books. Buy my books.
We did it again. We talked about Family Guy until the afternoon.